Fasting. All right, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 5, Old Testament. We're going old school this morning, guys. It's going to go old school. All right, stand with me for a little bit, if you would. Stretch your legs out. You're going to be sitting for about 3 hours, so I figured I may give you a chance. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Not that long. 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm glad to be in church today. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. And you know what? That music, the words are amazing, amazing words. But if you listen to just the music, the piano playing and all that, do you know what it is? It's clean. It's clean. It feels clean. You know what I'm saying? You ever been in an environment that's not clean and you know it's not clean? All right? I mean, just spiritually, emotionally, there's something healthy about clean. Now, some people make fun of me because I'm very clean, and at my house, if you maybe you've come over for a fellowship at my house, you know, and you may notice it's not because I don't like company, but like before everyone leaves, I'm already cleaning the countertops and sweeping the floors, and it's just I like things clean, all right? And I'll just say this much. That may be weird to some of you, but it beats being dirty all the time, all right? I think clean is a good thing, all right? When you get dressed and there's a big spot on your shirt and you're coming to church, oftentimes what you do is you'll change. Why? Because you want to look clean. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a difference between looking clean and being clean. 2 Kings chapter 5, look if you would at verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and was honorable because by him the Lord had given a deliverance on Assyria. He's a Gentile. He's not even a Jew. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, the Gentiles were oftentimes like, they were kind of just out there, kind of doing their own thing. And yet here it says that God used this man to bring deliverance to Syria from those nations around about that nation of Syria. And look what it says at the end of that verse. He was also a mighty man in valor. Look at all that character that's mentioned. But, you know what I could do right now? I could look at everyone in this room and go, man, you got great character. You're a nice person. You came to church this morning. You look like a decent human being. You're nice to me. But we are all struggling with the disease of leprosy spiritually in some way or another. Leprosy is a picture of sin in the Bible. The Bible says, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I think that's the Lord sending someone a message. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought all this stuff to kind of buy his way out of the situation he was in. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Christian, can I say this? The world ought to know that when they don't know where else to go, they should be able to go to you. Amen. That's literally what's going on in this chapter. The king of Israel gets a letter from this other king of Syria saying, hey, I've got this guy who's sick, and I know that you're Israel, and you serve the God of Israel, and I can't get him help anywhere else, but I know for a fact I can get him help with you. You know what's crazy about this? Look at how the king responds in verse number 7. In verse 7, the king's like, are you kidding me? I can't do this. You know what happened to that king? He had lived so long like everybody around about him that he forgot that his God was different than the other gods. Now look at verse number 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes in basically in grief, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him, that's the leper, the man who's struggling with the disease, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, can you imagine you make a long trip to go see the preacher, and instead of coming to the door, he sends you a text message? And he says, I want you to go do this thing and do that thing. And you're like, dude, I just traveled hundreds of miles. The least you could do is come to the door. Right? And so look at how Naaman responds. Look at verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought. Now, he's angry. Why is he angry? Because look at what Elisha says in verse 10. He doesn't even come to the door. He sends a messenger and he says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be what? Clean. Clean. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. And he goes on to say, man, aren't the rivers in Damascus, aren't the rivers in Syria cleaner and better than these? Couldn't I just go there and be clean? And he turned away and went in a rage. Verse 13. Let me just say this about verse 13. Every one of you in this room, you need some people in your life that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And when you're acting a fool, you need someone in your life, if not all of your friends, at least one of them to go, hey, quit being a fool and listen to what the God is trying to tell you. Look what happens here in verse 13. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be, what's that last word? Clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was, what's the last word?
Clean.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, very, very thankful for those that serve in our church. Brother Tim, if you'd ask the Lord's blessing on the word. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. Anybody ever, any parents of boys in the room? You ever smell their dirty laundry? Man, it's like, listen, when people are like, boys and girls are the same, like, you've got something wrong with you if you think that. The smells that come from boys are not the same as those that come from girls. And man, oh man, you get that dirty laundry basket and you walk, it's like bringing the offering unto the Lord. You're like, oh Lord, let it be a smell, a sweet smelling savor, and it's nothing but that. And you take it down the laundry room and you throw it in this magic box that goes round and round and throws water and soap and agitates it. And by the way, you don't get clean without agitation. And it agitates that thing, and that thing scrubs, and and then you throw it from there into the drying machine. And by the way, now I don't listen. I'm old fashioned. I would use Fabuloso. I use chemicals to kill things, including people. Amen. I know some of you are like, no, I'm all organic. You know, my wife's like, why are you going to use that Downy? I'm like, because it smells good. She's like, but it's killing us. I'm like, can I go to the grave smelling good? Amen. I want to smell clean, amen. You know, no, but it's to get these organic things, you know, throw this little, I'm like, look, I don't want to throw sage and lavender in my washing machine, all right? I'm not throwing essential oils in there either.
Amen.
Downy it is. Man, you put that stuff in there and you put it in the dryer and it just comes out smelling what? Smelling what? You know what they say? They say that when it comes to that whole entire business, the whole laundry business, they're not even concerned about how much, they show you these commercials like, here's this white shirt and look at the stain on this side. They don't care about the stains. You know what they say? In surveys, they ask people and people care more about how it smells than it actually being clean. You say, what is that? That's just how we're wired. I don't care if it's actually clean. I just want it to smell clean because it smells so good. And there's nothing like that smell. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing like actually being clean. Man, it's good to be clean. I've had people get saved in our church, and man, the burden of sin and of guilt and all the skeletons in the closet and all the dirt and all the ick and all the junk of this life and sin of the flesh and all, it just bears you down. I've watched people get saved, and man, you get a picture with them when they get saved. They're all smiles. I've had them text message me later on that day and go, I just feel so clean. You know why that is? Because you are. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been made clean, man. You have started over. Now, unfortunately, the reality is this. When you get saved, your flesh is still flesh. And your flesh does not like clean. Here's what your flesh likes. It likes to look clean. It likes to present clean. It might even like to smell clean. I have trained my boys well. When I comb their hair, when we're done, if I forget to spray them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they'll say, Dad, where's my cologne? I say, amen. They're good Latino boys. That's good. Training them right, man. You say, why? Smelling clean is not a bad thing. Smelling clean is all right. But look, if you're more concerned about smelling and looking and appearing, but you're not actually worried about what's on the inside, you got a problem. Let me tell you something. There's a filthiness that the Bible talks about, filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. And even after you get saved, you might be saved and have the burden of guilt that was weighing on you for years removed on your back. And thank God, placed on that man in the middle, the only one that could bear the sins of the entire world. Thank God for that. But man, after you get saved, here's the problem. Sometimes you go back to that cross and say, Jesus, I'll take that burden back. And he's like, listen, I took the dirty off you. Don't go running. In the mud. Amen. Leave it alone. There's some things in your life you don't need to mess with anymore. There's some stuff in your mind that needs to get cleaned up once and for all. You will struggle over and over and over if all you're worried about is what do they think? And what are they going to say about me? That's not the question. When you stand before God, you want to be clean in His sight. And let me tell you something. I remember I'm a kid of the 80s. You're not fully clean until you're zestfully clean. Remember that? You're not fully clean until you're wholly clean in the eyes of God. That's when you're clean. And let me ask you this morning. Do you want to be clean? Or do you want to just look like you're clean? Do you want to be clean? Do you want to just smell like you're clean? Let me tell you something. There's a sign of maturity. One of the signs of maturity and growing up is that you recognize, I need to take a shower. Right. Amen. I mean, listen, Olivia, as adorable as she is, I mean, in the story it talks about Naaman's flesh turning into the flesh of a little child. You ever rub up against a baby? No pimples, no wrinkles, no, just it's just perfect, man. And they go, you know, listen, if I'm as a 40-some-year-old man, if I got this going on, it's not as cute as when she's got it going on. I mean, listen, that flesh of a little child, just beautiful. But let me tell you something, that little child, as beautiful as her little flesh is, you know what she'll do? She'll light up a diaper like the 4th of July, man. And you know what? She won't think anything of it. She'll run through the house, and leaving behind her a cloud of something that is unholy, right? And everyone around her goes naturally, oh, what is that smell? Do you know what she never does? She never says, I stink, can someone please change me? When she gets, are you with me right now? As she grows up, she starts noticing, man, this doesn't feel right. Is this a little too true for some of you? I can tell some, like, where are we going? We're going exactly where you think we're going. Like, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't, I'm kind of gross, and it kind of smells weird, and I kind of, yeah, amen. That's what you want. You want them to recognize this is not healthy to be like this all the time. I should get cleaned up. One of the signs of maturity is that you recognize, man, I'm dirty. The problem with our generation is this. They look at everything. They go, there's no problem with anything. I can be dirty, and it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something right now. It does in the eyes of God. It doesn't matter what your neighbor thinks. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks. You know what matters? What does God say? Am I dirty or am I clean? You know what I think one of the problems is? People don't want to admit they're dirty. You know what you'll do? Well, I'm not as dirty as that guy. Yeah, okay, so he's got a 5-alarm fire in his diaper and you got a 2-alarm fire. So what? You still stink. Like, the reality is you're still dirty. You know what it reminds me of? Honestly, honest to God, you know, anybody ever watch the old Willy Wonka? Anybody ever seen the old one? That's the stuff of nightmares for kids, man. Oompa loompa oompa. You know, kids getting thrown in chocolate and getting swept away. I mean, that's just crazy stuff. And one of the things in that story is, what's the girl, the blueberry girl? Not Violet, thank you. Oh, you are, she's clutch right there. Violet, remember that? You're turning violet, Violet. Remember that? You know what Violet says on the boat ride? Someone spits. And the camera turns to Violet, and she's picking her nose. Yeah. Going to town, man. Yeah. And she's going, spitting is a nasty habit.
Yeah.
Right? So you know what you do as a believer? Oh, man, that looks dirty. Glad I'm not involved in that. What about pride?
Yeah.
What about selfishness?
Yeah.
What about envy? What about covetousness? I wish I had that. I wish that my house looked like that. I wish I had that man for a husband. I wish I had that one for a wife. I wish I had those kids. I wish I had that job. What about selfishness? I don't care about you. I matter more. What about those things? You say, what's that? Well, that's not that big of a deal. It's sin in the eyes of God. What about when you, no one else is around and you indulge yourself in it, listening to things you have no business listening to, looking at things you have no business looking at, and you say, it doesn't matter. You're dirty and you know you are. Then you come to church and try to act like it's all right. It's not all right.
Amen.
Man, this generation has got this thing so backwards. It's all about Insta and TikTok and how do I look instead of who am I? You know who you are? You are exactly who you are when no one else is around, and that's all you are. All the other stuff is a facade. You know, preacher, I wish you kind of lightened up. Go somewhere else if you want to get lightened up. You get lightened up everywhere else, man. Yeah, the world system is meant basically to pacify you on your way to hell. You understand that? The devil just wants you to go, no big deal, everything's fine, it doesn't matter. And even after you get saved, God's like, hey, there's a fire going on there. People need to be rescued. People need to be saved. Man, your life needs to change in order to reach them. And you're like, it's okay. I'll get that. It's no big deal. I'm not as bad as they are. Spitting is a nasty habit.
Amen.
That's what's going on in Christians' lives. You know, the problem is you're dirty. But you don't want to admit it. And you know what you say? I know what you're thinking right now. I'm not clubbing on Saturday night. I'm not, you know, smoking crack. I'm not. If that's what you think dirty is limited to, you don't know God. Man, the closer I get to him, the more I realize I am not him. I want to be more like him. God gives a law, and he talks about clean animals and unclean and all that stuff. Even before he gives the law, Genesis chapter 7 is like way before Moses. He's talking to Noah. You know what he says? Take 7 clean animals on the ark. Take 2 of the unclean. Now, you may go, well, what does that matter? You know what that shows me? Unclean will always find a way to multiply. A whole lot more rapid than the clean does.
Oh, yeah.
Are you with me? He tells Noah, hey, I want you to take 7 of the clean and just 2 of the unclean. You know, Jesus Christ asked one time, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be clean? The book of Leviticus has the most references to the word clean in it. I think 53 of them. You know what Leviticus is all about? It's all about presenting a holy nation before a holy God. And the word clean shows up 50-some times. Why do you suppose that is? Because as we approach God, the creator of the universe, the savior of my soul, as we approach God, there should be a desire to be more like him. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some lighting, and I'm going to speak for my wife, right? I'm not a lady, I'm not where you're at, but I know there's times where it's like, oh, I needed some good lighting. I need some good lighting. So you get these mirrors like that magnify everything and got like all the, you ever see those round things that got the lights on them? Anybody, ladies know what I'm talking about, all right? Joe, no? Okay, good, all right? All right, big mirrors with the lights on, you know, and you, why? I want to see everything. Why? Because in the other light, I don't see it all. You know what's interesting about that? You'll do that to put on the stuff. Nothing wrong with it. We appreciate it. Okay? But when it comes to spiritual matters, you're like, no, I'm good. I don't think I need that big mirror, you know, reflecting back and all that. I'm good. You know, we know what the Lord does? When they build a tabernacle, the Lord tells them, hey, I want this laver to be there. And this laver was a place where the priests would come and the priest's sons would come. And before they could approach the sanctuary that was holy and approach the presence of God, they would have to wash their hands and their feet. They would have to prepare themselves on their way. You ever wonder why sometimes you get so much out of church and sometimes you get nothing out of it? And sometimes it seems like, man, everything's clicking and sometimes it's not. Do you think maybe it has anything to do with the preparation and time you take to get spiritually and emotionally clean before you come in the presence of God? Man, maybe that has something to do with it versus just flopping down. Okay, Lord, bless me if you can. I got to get this done, and I got some other things to do. It's Sunday, Lord. You know it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week, and I got work tomorrow, and I got this. And the Lord's like, you know what? You're too busy for me anyways. You just stay dirty where you're at. You're good. God doesn't want that for you, but he won't force you to get clean. You know what God won't do? He won't do what I'll do with my kids. When the kids were young, like, no, I don't want a bath. Boom, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There you go. Now, Olivia generally likes baths, but every once in a while she gets in a weird mood. She's kind of like, eh. And it's not like, I don't sit there and go, oh, you don't want a bath. What would you like to do? She stinks. She needs a bath. I don't negotiate. Never negotiate with a terrorist. Children are terrorists. If you do that, good luck. Man, I ain't doing it, man. I'm like, I'm the authority. And listen, there's times where I know this could mean a 5 to 10 minute fit or whatever else. But man, one of us is going to win. And it sure is going to be someone that's a tenth of my size. Someone's going to leave this room crying and it ain't Dad. You know, we sit there and she's just like, I don't want to. Hey, look, we go in the bath. Why do we go in the bath? Because you stink. Because you're not clean. Because it's time. There are times I go to the boys. I'm like, hey, time for a shower. I thought we did that. I'm like, yeah, 4 days ago. Oh, yeah, that's right. It was. Listen, God, the Lord wants you to be clean, but he's not going to make you get clean. You know, one of the signs of a culture and a society that's in trouble, they put no difference between holy and unholy. In Leviticus, it says that God tells the priest, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go in the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. Why? That you may put difference between the holy and the unholy, between unclean and the clean. In Ezekiel, talking about the spiritual leadership that had basically turned their back on God, here's what it says about them. They profane mine holy things, and they put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean. It almost seems like God wants us to notice what's clean and what's unclean. It almost seems like a sign of spiritual maturity is going, man, this isn't right. This is unclean. And it's and a lack of spiritual maturity and a lack of walking with God will produce a spirit that says, it doesn't really matter. It does matter with God. The Lord wants us clean. The title of the message is not, God, do you want me to be clean? The title of the message is, do you want to be clean? He wants it for us, but he won't make it happen. We live in a time where Christians are bothered when a preacher preaches about living in sin. Why do you suppose that is? Don't tell me it's wrong to live in fornication. That's so old-fashioned. Call me whatever you want. Call me old-fashioned. I don't care. You know what I think is so funny about that? When people say stuff like that? Hey, listen, our grandparents could stay married. And they could pay their bills and not live in maximum debt. You go, oh, because it was, you know, it's because the inflation. No, listen, that you need to study history a little bit. Our grandparents went without a lot of things. They didn't do vacations every year. They didn't have $1,000 in Starbucks every month. They didn't. There's a lot they didn't do. Okay? All right? Before you start going on the inflation train and, you know, blaming President Biden for all your problems, all right? The reality is this, that generation knew how to handle life. You know why? Because that book was integrated into their lives. They would go to public school at times, and they would go to public school and have chapel in public school. You say, what is that? That's a sign of a nation that still has their head screwed on right. Well, I believe in separation church. Believe whatever you want. I know this much. Back then, we didn't worry about school shootings, and kids took guns to school to go hunting afterwards. We didn't worry about the girls getting molested and abused and all the rest of it like you do now. You know, all the stuff that's coming out and all the stuff that we're worried about and all the evil that exists, you know what it is? It's a culture that does not want to recognize right and wrong, clean and unclean. And by the way, the real issue is not culture, it's the church. Because judgment must begin at the house of God. How dare we say, man, they're so messed up. They're messed up because we don't want to take inventory. You all know this. Don't blame me for all the garbage out there. Here's what I'm going to say. When Christians stop drawing the line and then erasing it and then drawing a new one and erasing it, drawing a new one, the world will stop drifting as well. They drift because we're not the anchor anymore. You know what the attitude is these days? Man, it's not a big deal. What's the big deal? You think God cares about that? Preacher, I just think you're being a legalist. You know what a legalist is? That's a cop-out for you don't want to deal with sin. Some would say it doesn't matter. To God it does. Now I want you to look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I just one verse. I know I could quote it, and somebody could quote it with me, but I want you to lay your eyes on it. There's something cleansing about putting something pure in front of your eyes. You know what's pure? The watcher of the Word of God. Isn't it interesting that when it talks about Christ and the church, he talks about he sanctifies her as Christ sanctifies the church by the washing of the Word of God? You say, what is that? People say, well, you're just brainwashed. You're brainwashed by the man. If I want to be washed by something, this is a good thing to be washed by. Look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 16. No, this is God talking. You say, no, it's Peter. Well, Peter's just the vessel. He's just the voice. This is God speaking. Look what he says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. Because it is written, be ye what? For I am what?
Holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Can I point something out to you? I think of the attributes of God, and I think, toward the top of that list, mercy. Right? How merciful is our God? How gracious is our God? How loving and kind is our God? But do you know what makes all that so wonderful and amazing? His holiness. See, it's not a big deal if I'm a sinner and I can deal with another sinner and go, yeah, I like that person. You know what's mind-blowing? Is a sinless being who is all pure and all holy and all righteous and one that will not be defiled by sin, and yet he dips into time and space and matter in order to communicate and converse with us and have relationship with us sinners that are not holy like him. Do you realize the cherubim, the seraphim? We just sang the song. You know what they don't sing? Mercy, mercy, mercy. You know they don't sing? Loving, loving, loving. And that's a great song. There's nothing wrong with it. We can sing about the love of God. You know what they sing? Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You say, why do they say that? Because people have this idea. In the Old Testament, God's angry and he's righteous. In the New Testament, God's kind of like a hippie and he's okay with everything. That's not Bible. He's the same God, which was and is to come. You know what he is? He's holy. And right away, there's something inside of us that goes, who does he think he is? I'll tell you who he thinks he is. He's God. And you know what? You're not. You're not him, and you're not righteous, and you're not holy. The only righteousness I have in me, the only holiness I have in me, is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. But see, what God wants to do is he wants to plant that in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And through life's trials and circumstances, rather than seeing unholiness, and rather than seeing that which is vile, and that which is fleshly, and that which is carnal, and that which is of the world, God wants to bring Christ out in me, holiness. That's what the Lord wants to see in you. He wants you to be clean. Are your words clean? Are your thoughts clean? Are your motives clean? Yeah. You know what no one else can see? Your motives. And you can say everything around the outside, and God's like, let's address that. You're like, no, I'm good. We're good. Lord, they don't know anything. Lord's like, yeah, but I do. Like, where does that fit into this? Let me ask you, do you want to be clean? I'm really not trying to upset the all-organic crowd. I promise I'm not. But we tried this Molly Sud stuff. Is that what it's called? It's garbage. It's garbage. I know I'm probably offending some of you. If you want to spend $20 on dish soap, go for it and then not have clean dishes, knock yourself out. I like to have clean dishes, all right? I like to scrub. I like to, real men, clean dishes. Remember that for getting married, all right? And as a man, turneth the dish upside down. Oh, yeah, man. Old Testament. It's there, all right? Wash it. And you know what I like? I like dawn. I know I'll split the church right down the middle. Somebody, oh, I'm out of here. Organic all the way. All right, fine, whatever. You realize I'm just trying to use an illustration, right? Use whatever you want. But man, I like dawn. You say, why? I like seeing the bubbles. I like seeing the chemical reaction. Because I know I'm about to clean something. You know, there's a difference between looking clean and being clean. You know what a lot of you will do? You've learned lingo. Praise God, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, good to be saved, better than I deserve, blah, blah, blah. But inside there's bitterness, and there's unforgiveness, and there's pride, and there's lust. And there's the real you see? And the Lord's like, man, we can enjoy this life so much more if you just got clean. You know, when someone's coming, we've got our Overcomers Ministry. When someone's coming out of addiction, you know what they'll say? I've been clean for. Where do you suppose that idea and that phrasing comes from? You think maybe the Word of God, where the Lord shows us, look, when you have certain things in your life, no matter how you frame them, you're not going to be clean. Yesterday was, you know, Friday. Friday we had Ethan. Ethan turned 8 years old. And, yeah, I'm sorry. The party was, hey, I'm preaching, okay? She's right. Write that down. She's right. Okay, write that down. Yes. Friday we had Ethan's birthday party. And we had some people take our kids and do some fun stuff. And then we're going to meet him at this place and have his party and all that. And so we're just getting out of the house, me and Lacey and Olivia. And we're excited. She's in this cute pink outfit, jumper. Is that what you call that? Little Oshkosh bagosh jumper thing. And she's just cute, man. She's got a little hair bow. You know, she's back there, blah, blah, blah. And she would just say, Emma. You know, Emma's not there. So that's her new thing. Emma. You know, and we'd say something to her and she'd say something back. And Lacey hands her one of those fruit pouch smoothie things, you know, because she grabs it and she kind of does this with it and like she wants to eat it. And then I'm coming to the stop sign right there at Colfax in I-70 out in Bennett. And I was like, no! And I'm like, I thought we're going to hit a deer. I'm just thinking someone's dying. I don't know. I have no idea. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? What happened? It's all over her. She taking that thing. I mean, she thought she was Vincent Van Gogh. She's a little here, little there, little here, little there. It was just all, I mean, it was up in everything. It was in the seatbelt buckle. It was in the, I mean, for someone like me, that's just like, ah! Kids are disgusting, man. You know what? She had no idea. She had no idea this was a problem. None. She's just kind of like, well, this is fun. We're going back home. Yay. You know, she runs in the house like nothing's wrong, you know. You say, why? Because she's a baby. But, man, after you've been saved for a little bit, you ought to know. And you do know. You know what we did? We brought her in the house and changed her and got her dolled up in another pink jumper. And I'm like, how many of these did we buy? And here's what we didn't do. Here's what we did not do. We didn't get back in the car and go, here's a fruit pouch. So let me just throw this out there. If you're like, man, I keep making a mess, I don't know. Maybe quit being around the stuff that makes you a mess. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe quit bringing those things in your life. Yeah. Maybe block that person. Yeah. Maybe disconnect on social media. Yeah. Maybe don't have a, I don't know, whatever needs to be done. You know what we didn't do? We didn't just go, here's some more fruit. We knew that if we gave it right back to her, she'd be like, well, praise God. It must be okay. And by the way, that's what you older Christians do when you're messing around with stuff, you know, business messing around with. Yeah. Younger Christians watch and they go, it must be okay. It's about to be summer. And I know I'm probably going to make some enemies right here, but let me tell you something. Summer is not an invitation to take all your clothes off.
Amen. Right.
Okay? The last time people ran around naked in a garden, that's before they sinned. And right away, they knew something was wrong. You're a legalist. You're telling me I got to wear, a full dress. I didn't say that. It's not what I think at all. But I'm going to tell you this as well. And by the way, I just got to throw this out there as well. I think now it's cool for guys to wear 80 shorts. We don't want to see that. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe since I'm a kid of the 90s, we had shorts that went down to here, man. Remember those with the FUBU and all that stuff, man? You're walking around like just finish the job. Put them all the way down, man. We had shorts that weren't really short, amen. Man, it seems like the 70s and the 80s are coming back, and guys are, listen, we don't need to see all that. The Bible says your thigh is your nakedness. I see, this is what happens. You start mentioning stuff, and he's going to talk about, he's a legalist. I'm not trying to dictate what you do in your life. I'm trying to tell you, for the love of God, understand there's a difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. God made your body for your spouse to enjoy.
Amen.
Not everyone else.
Amen.
And that goes for both genders. Don't get in here. He's telling us women, everyone. I just got on the guys for their nasty 80 shorts, all right? And while you're at it, don't do the high socks either. It's just weird. You know what's amazing? Our high priest can touch that which is dirty and he won't get dirty. He'll actually make you clean. Isn't that great? They brought those that had leprosy to him, and man, they were always worried. You can't touch me, you can't touch me, you'll get what I have. And he had no problem touching. He's the only one in the universe that can get away with that. You're not him. You better learn to have some distance between you and the filth of this world. Do you understand? I heard this years ago. I think it was Vance Havner that said it. He says the right kind of separation as a Christian is not so much isolation as much as insulation. You take the walls of your house. You know what's in there? You can't see it because you got the, sheetrock and the texture and paint. Am I doing okay, Brother Tony? Is that good for description? All right, Brother Tim, did I pass construction? Should I be a GC now? I'm pretty much a GC right there. You know what you have that you can't see? You know what keeps you warm in the winter and cooler in the summer? You can't see it, but it's there. Insulation. Let the Spirit of God be that for you. Do not quench him and grieve him when he starts to show you, hey, let's kind of get some distance between you and the elements in the world. So my question is, do you want to be clean? I think Naaman showed that he wanted to be clean. Look, if you would, at 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Look at verse 1. You know what it says? It says at the end of the verse, he was a leper. In verse 3, it talks about his leprosy. In verse 6, it mentions once again at the end of that verse, his leprosy. I want you to look at verse number 9. The first three words, you know what they are? So Naaman came. You know what that shows me? Naaman knew that he had a problem. You know what I don't like? I don't like going to the dentist. Anybody else with me? I don't like it at all. I went the other day, and this lady's like, they take these things, and I feel it's like a pick or a shovel, and they're like scraping the plaque out, and like, and like, oh, does that hurt? No, it feels great. Keep going. Like I don't. Why do you even ask that? You know you're gonna keep doing it anyways. You got a job to do here. And they're pulling and getting the plaque out. And I'm like, man, I brush my teeth. It's just like when you go to church. I say the Lord's Prayer. I do this. I do that. I read my Bible. But there's stuff that gets in there, man.
Yeah.
And you don't even always notice it. It had been a year and a half. And my wife,
yeah.
It had been a year and a half, and I think it's important for the internet and our church to know that my wife is the one that made the appointment. Why? Because I don't like going to the dentist. You know why I don't like going? I don't want their self-righteous finger pointing in my face going, you need to floss better. Right? You need to brush. Are you even brushing at all? Like, what are you talking about? I'm a grown man. And they're like, would you like a free toothbrush? I'm like, sure. And she got in there and she's like, I told her, I said, I've been wearing these Invisalign things and I got this thing back here and it kind of hurts, but I think it might just be the Invisalign. And she's like, no, we started looking in there. And she goes, right there, you've got a cavity. Darn you, coffee addiction. You know? Yeah. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't say, fine. That's the last time I go to that dentist's office. Do you understand? Don't worry about my AirPods. We can get them more. We can. Do you know what I didn't do? I didn't leave there talking about how self-righteous the dentist was. I didn't tell my wife, I'm never going back to that lab. Well, what happened, honey? She told me I had a cavity. Well, don't you want to know? No. That's the real answer. I'd like for them to look in there and go, man, you've got beautiful teeth. I have never seen teeth like those teeth. Can we take a picture of the? That's what I'd like to hear. It's not what they're going to say. Their job is to find the problem. When you come to church, the Holy Spirit goes right there. And you're like, I mean, why does it have to be that way? I mean, I've gone to other places where they don't tell me. I went to another dentist. I'm going to get a second opinion. Do whatever you want. Free country. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord's trying to get your attention. And he wants you to be clean. A vessel meet for the master's use. Can I ask you this? Can you admit when you're dirty? Naaman could. You know what Naaman was? He was a Gentile. He's an outsider. He's a heathen. And he looked at himself and he goes, this isn't how it should be. When are you going to do that? For the stuff nobody knows anything about. You know how a leper knows when something is wrong and they recognize that their skin is not right? You know how they know that? They know that. I'm not leaving the Ray-Bans here. They might get stolen. If someone finds the other AirPod, let me know later after church. Amen. Illustration's gone wrong. I did it for effect, I promise. You know how Naaman knew there was something wrong with him? All he had to do was look at someone that was healthy. Do you know what Isaiah talks about? He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he talks about being in his temple. And you know, when he looked at God, you know what the next thing is that he said? Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people that are unclean. He saw God, and when he saw God, he realized, I'm not like him. And Lord, here are the things in my life that are unclean. Do you want to be clean? Admit you're dirty. You know what Jesus says one time? To a lame man, wilt thou be made whole? Question, doesn't the Lord know that man's been there for 38 years with that infirmity? He knows that. So why does he ask the man that question? Like I said earlier, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Clearly Jesus knew that man wanted help, but you know what he wanted to hear? He wanted that man to hear himself say, I need you for this. No one else could help me. That layman in John 5 was waiting for the angel to come and trouble the water. And every time he did, someone else would jump in front and no one could pick him up and get him to where he needed to be. He needed Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord does? The Lord says, I don't need an angel. Touched by an angel and all that stuff. Remember that show? I don't need that. I don't need that. You just need me. And he says, thou will be made whole. He said, but first, before he makes him whole, he goes, do you want this? So I'm going to ask you, do you want to be clean? Look at Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let me remind you that leprosy in the Old Testament, it would consume. They didn't understand it. So God gives them laws of how to address it and how to stay clean and how to deal with it. But he describes in Leviticus that if it's a bright spot and it is a plague that is under the skin, then it is a leprosy. But if it's a bright spot and it has this and that and this and that and this and that, it's just a boil. It's just a byproduct of living in this body. It's nothing, not a big deal. But if it's under the flesh, are you with me? If it's below the surface, then you've got a problem. There's a leper that comes to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter number 8. Look, if you would, there, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And look, if you would, at verse 1. Verse number 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. I like this. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. But you know what didn't happen in that story? That leper didn't show up there and go, let me tell you what my parents did. Let me tell you what society did to me. Let me tell you what I've been through. You know what that leper said? I'm dirty. Yeah, right. You can clean me. Yeah. Will you clean me? And Jesus says, I will. Be thou clean. You know what he didn't do? It's my wife's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my church's fault. It's my... You know what he just said? I'm dirty. Leprosy is something that would consume the flesh, and what it does, even to this day, it's a thing. And while they can treat it a whole lot easier today than they could back then, basically you'll see people in bandages surrounding their feet and surrounding their arms. You say, why? It attacks the nerves and the extremities to where literally you can have pieces, I'm not trying to be gross, pieces of your flesh falling off and you wouldn't even feel it. You see, that's disgusting. That's what sin does to you. Do you want to be clean? Or are you just going to keep saying it's no big deal? When the Holy Spirit deals with you and the altar call comes, you know what a lot of Christians do? I think because nobody else knows. First off, you're probably not as good at hiding things as you think you are.
Yeah.
Thing number one. Thing number two, it doesn't matter. All that matters is the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with you. And you're going, it's no big deal, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. I've got this, I can handle this. You're literally spiritually having limbs fall off and you don't even recognize it. We're living in a culture that is literally embracing evil in every way, shape, and form. You say, how did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here. Christians and churches and preachers saying it's no big deal. You know what's interesting about leprosy? If it wasn't contained the right way, it would spread. And by the way, it wasn't so much a touching thing, although that's what they used to think. It's microscopic particles in the air. Sounds like COVID. Remember that? You'd walk into a store and you'd be like, all of a sudden you're kind of looking up going, oh, what particles are in here? You know? And you go anywhere and you're kind of like, I want to just walk around with lights. Shh. You know? And you couldn't see it, but it could get you. You know what's amazing? I saw Christians quit coming to church and quit doing what they should do in their life because they were worried about going somewhere where they might catch something. Isn't it amazing what you'll do to preserve your physical body? When it comes to the spirit, you're like, no big deal. Whatever. I'm a kid of the 90s. Remember this? Whatever. That's the Christian thing today. Oh, no big deal. And the Lord says, no big deal. No big deal. It's like punk college age kids today talking about, you know, our military servicemen and calling them murderers for going to, like, that stuff drives me insane. My dad came back after not having known English, risked his life, was left one time, almost died, Viet Cong, literally within 6 feet of him. He had to defecate on himself, pee on himself and everything, and lie down on the ground for 2 days straight. And he came back and he had college-age kids yelling at him and shouting at him, calling him a baby killer, everything else when he came back from Vietnam. I have no respect for that. None whatsoever. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's the wrong perspective. You say, how do you get there? Here's how you get there. You get there by making the bad guys the good guys and the good guys the bad guys. You know what we've done in the church? We've made the bad guy anyone that tells us the truth.
Yeah, amen.
You want to stay dirty? Just stay dirty. I'm asking you, do you want to be clean? I remember back when COVID was a real thing. You know, you cough in public and everyone stares at you. And right away, you know what you're doing? Allergies. It's like November and there's nothing alive. And you're like, allergies, I'm allergic to something, I'm sure of it, you know? Why? You just didn't want anyone to think you had it. You know what allergies is spiritually? Well, it's not really my fault. It's really this. And the Lord's like, we're just, you know what the problem is? You're treating symptoms and you're not treating the problem. Do you want to be clean? Start with this. Admit you're dirty. It's like the kid that puts his hand in the cookie jar. It's got chocolate chip all over his face. Did you eat the cookie? No. Your face says differently. You know, back in 2 Kings, if you go there, let me just try to make sense of this as we wrap up. In 2 Kings 5, we learned that this man had notoriety. He's a great man. He had character. He was honorable. He had courage. He's a mighty man of valor. He had resources from the king. He had money. He had a network of people. He had all this stuff, but you know what he couldn't do? He couldn't clean himself. And you might have a lot of things at your disposal, but I'm going to tell you, you can't clean yourself. You have to come to God for that. But you have to admit you're dirty. Secondly, can I say this? Can you just consider, quit waiting to do something about it? Look at verse number 8. Elisha says, hey, let this guy come. Look at verse number 9. Look what he does. He comes. It wasn't come later. It wasn't come when you feel like it or after you've tried it your way. It was like, man, just come. You know what the Lord says in Isaiah? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Lord does not say, come whenever. He says, come now. If you're lost and on your way to hell, do you know what Jesus says? He says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Why? Because tomorrow, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You're not promised tomorrow. Do it now. When the Lord says, hey, let's talk about this, don't give him this. Don't say, hey, Lord, we'll talk later. Talk to him now. Do you know why some of you on the inside, there's a lot of dirty in there? You say, why is that? Because you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off, and after a while you justify and say, it's no big deal. And the whole time the Lord says, hey, let's deal with this, let's deal with this, let's deal with this. And you know what you do? Later, Lord, later. Later, we'll deal with it later. Just one more time. It's not that big of a deal. Over and over and over, the Lord's like, we could have dealt with this a year ago. You parents, when you tell your kid, come here, if they ever respond with, when do you want me to come? Isn't the statement kind of implying like now?
Right.
So if the Lord's saying, hey, hey, the door of your heart, hey, can we talk about this now? Lord, I'm kind of busy. You know what's funny? If someone text messaged you when you went to their door, you'd be offended. You do it to God all the time. And the Lord's like, we should talk about this. It's like, well, we'll talk later. There's a saying, siempre mañana, always tomorrow. The problem is tomorrow doesn't always come. I know I've talked about this before, but man, it makes me laugh every time. You got lice. Remember the plagues of Pharaoh? You got lice. Lice everywhere. I mean, just everyone watching, doing this number all the time. You know, you've got flies. Like, I don't know. We went from, like, winter to fly season already. At least that where I live. We got flies. I'm like, oh, it's too early for that, you know. They multiply, and they're everywhere, you know, and imagine just swarms of flies. I remember we were in Bolivia as missionaries, and they'd have the meat rack out in public, in Mercado, in the open-air market. And I remember one time going, that's weird, it's black, what is that? And they take a fly swatter, and you see all these flies. Next time you complain at Walmart, just remember that. Man, I mean, just the thought of swarms of flies everywhere. It's not like this, it's like you're doing this number at that point. Right? Then you wake up to frogs. The Lord is creative. I know the plagues are all a picture of all the different gods that the Egyptians served and all that. I think that's fascinating. But I mean, the Lord's just like, man, here's, you know, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. You know, starts calling Jeremiah and all this Jeremiah and that Jeremiah. And man, they're just everywhere. And you're going like this. And right as you take a step, you can't because there's frogs there. And you're kind of like this, you know, and then you kind of move around. And just everywhere you go, there's plagues everywhere. And you just, I want to get rid of it. I want to get out of it. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and he's like, hey, you done? Yeah, I was wrong. I am so messed up. Man, I messed up, dude. I'm so sorry. Man, we're like brothers. You grew up with me. I'm so sorry for everything that's going on. Yeah, man, to get rid of these frogs. All right, when would you let me ask God to get rid of them? Tomorrow. Why? You can deal with it today. You're not saved. There's something in you that goes, when you talk about salvation, going to heaven when you die or going to hell when you die, something in you that makes you kind of go, oh, kind of uneasy. You know what you need to do? Deal with it today. Amen. You're not right with the Lord, Christian. You got some things in your life. And you know what? I think to myself, if this bright star shows up in the wise men, you know, and oh, we know the story. We three kings of old. We don't know if there's three or not. Gold, you know, they brought their gold and frankincense and myrrh and all that. But we sing the song and they follow the star and they get to the Jesus as a young child and all that kind of stuff. And we hear that story, read about that story. And I think to myself, what if the Lord had showed up with this bright star and they're like, wow, someday we should follow that. And they go, maybe later. You know what they would have missed out on? Everything. See, some things, Felix, not Felix in our church, but Felix in the Bible, Paul preaches to him, and he trembles. Felix does after he hears the preaching, and he says, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I'll deal with it later. You know what later, and you know what happens? Later never happens. As far as we know, Felix dies and goes to hell without God. Why? Because I'll just deal with it later. You know what Naaman didn't do? He didn't do that. He said, I'm coming. Someone can help me? I'm coming. You ever been in a place, you got a sick kid or something, and they're going to squeeze you in, the doctor's going to squeeze you in, and you're like, well, maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. No, they got the fever of 103, you know, and they're puking or whatever else, like, I got to get there. You make a way, and yet when it comes to your spiritual life, there's this apathy, there's this lethargicness, it's just like, ah, whatever. You won't feel that when you stand in front of them. You know what Naaman had to do? He had to give up on doing it his own way. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. Elisha tells him, go wash in Jordan seven times. Look what Naaman says. I love this. In verse 11, behold, what are the next two words? I thought. You know, a lot of trouble comes in life from just, I thought this and I thought that. And I, instead of just saying, well, what does God say about it? You know what Abraham did? Abraham lied about his sister, his wife being his sister. Why? I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. I thought. Well, I thought. Well, I thought. I guarantee you Noah didn't think he could save the world by building a boat. I guarantee you Gideon didn't think he could destroy the army of the Midianites with 300. You think differently than God. And what God says, do you know what, maybe you don't know this, but the Jordan River gets muddy. And it's kind of gross. That's why he references these other rivers in Syria. And he goes, can I just go wash there? Here's the question. If you could have and it would have helped you, why didn't it work? You know, I'm going to say it this way. Quit doing it your own way. It's not working. You know what Naaman had to do? He had to come to a place where he goes, I tried it my way. It didn't work. You know what my way is for a lot of Christians? Well, I'll just keep this in just on the side. I'm not going to get all the way in. Just kind of, you know, and just on a hard day, I kind of just kind of go over here. And the Lord's like, all right, but you won't be clean. You know what took a little bit of humility? He had to get down in the Jordan River. Can you imagine this? Imagine someone tells you, go dip seven times. Wouldn't you feel like an idiot? I mean, seriously. Here we go. One, and everyone's watching, you know? Two, he's getting his calisthenics in, you know? He gets down. I mean, after the fourth time, he'd be like, I'm done. This is stupid. Wouldn't you feel that way? Yeah. But in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah, but everything else I tried didn't work. I'm going to give God a try. Good man. Smart.
Right.
You know what it took him doing? He had to get down. Look what it says in the passage, in the river. You know what down is? It's an indication of humility. It's I'm done doing it my way. I'm done holding on to the bitterness. I'm done holding on to my own self-image and what do people think. I'm done with all the things that I've allowed to become me. This is not actually my identity. Christ is my identity, but yet I'm associating with this. I'm done with this. I want to do it God's way. I guess my question is, are you done allowing your thoughts to get the best of you? Behold, I thought. Yeah, but what you thought wasn't right. What God says is right. You know, there's a story in Luke about 10 lepers, and one of them was a Samaritan. Some of you know the story, and that one came back and thanked God. And the Lord Jesus tells him something. He tells him, go thy way. And he tells him he's made whole. And that's an amazing thought. He thinks to himself, man, I've been made whole. Do you know the other lepers never hear that? They never hear you've been made whole. You know what I think they did? The other nine? I think every day of their life they'd wake up and they'd go, is he going to come back? You know why? They didn't do it God's way. They did it their own way. Oh, they got healing, but they never had the confidence. Isn't it interesting that in one verse he says, behold, I thought. Look down, if you would, at verse number... Oh, let's see here. Verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, watch this. Behold, now I, what's the next word?
No.
You want confidence in your life, Christian? It doesn't come from your thoughts.
Right.
I thought, but now I know. Confidence, listen to me, comes from clean. You want to have confidence as a believer? You know what it comes from? Doing it God's way, getting clean, and knowing I'm exactly where God wants me. I've responded to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know what that does for me? It gives me confidence. You know, when you're saved, when you get saved, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in regards to being saved that you can know that you have eternal life, that ye may know that you have eternal life, not that you may guess or hope. You know what is it? That's confidence. And the world looks at it and goes, nobody can know you're going to heaven when you die. But the Bible says you can know. And you can have confidence in that. Why? Because I've been made clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. My soul is clean in the sight of God. I know I'm going to heaven when I, not because I'm a good guy, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm anything else, but because I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, I am clean. You know what he says to the believer? Hey, you've got some filthiness of the flesh and the spirit to address, but man, if you come to me, man, if I confess my sins and I come before him, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And if I say, Lord, I want you to redirect my heart. Lord, I want to disassociate from this other identity. God, I want to see it as you see it. God, I want to walk in a clean path. I want to identify with what you love, and I want to identify with what you hate and hate what you hate and love what you love. God, I want to be clean. I want to walk with you. You know what you can do? You can have confidence. And you can say, instead of I thought, you can end today saying, I know.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Father, we love you. We don't love you like we should. I don't love you like I should. Lord, we want to be clean. We don't want to play games. We don't want to put on a facade. We're not here to sew fig leaves on. We're here to get washed. Lord, the spirit of our age is just to ignore the conviction, to stuff down the guilt instead of bringing it out in the open and letting you deal with it. Father, I pray if there's anyone here that isn't saved, that today they might be saved. Father, I pray that any believer that has some things that just need to be made right between you and them, Lord, they wouldn't brush it off and say, this message is for someone else. Lord, they would own it. They take it and get cleaned up today. Come to you and be willing to dip down in the Jordan. Come down to an altar and stay until things are cleared up. As your bowed eyes are closed, you know why I stay so conflicted and confused and in constant stagnation, believer, at times? Because you're trying to hold on to dirty, and you know you want to be clean. Some of you may have some choices. Here's the other part to being clean. It's confession is one part. The other part is the afterwards. Naaman confessed it when he showed up. It was dipping down the Jordan. That was the afterwards for him. Christian, for you, it might be, Lord, here I am, I'm dirty. Praise God, you can admit that. I'm thankful for that. But you know what the Lord might say? Hey, how about we clean up your relationships? How about we kind of separate from some people? How about we kind of clean up the way you're thinking? How about we kind of redirect your habits? How about we fill the void in your life that you're filling with cheap and fake substitutes for joy and a good feeling and for the right emotions? You're chasing something, and what you're chasing will never satisfy like God can. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask this question. No one looking around. If you're here, you're a born-again child of God. Boy, you might feel, let me just tell you, the goal of the message is not for you to walk away saying, I'm just the scum of the earth. That's not the goal. The goal is for you to say, I got some scum of the earth on me, and I want it off. And Father, would you wash me clean? And Father, would you give me instruction? I'll listen. What do I need to do to not keep finding myself here? I want to go from saying I thought to I know. I want confidence in my life as a believer. Christian, maybe you'd lead more people to Christ if you had more confidence. Maybe you have more confidence if you were clean. Is it making any sense? Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. If you're a born-again child of God, you know that you're saved. Would you be willing to lift your hand and say, yep, I'm one of his kids. Sometimes I'm a mess. And you know what I'd say to you? Join the club. So am I. But I'm his kid. Man, it's a blessing to have the confidence to go, I'm his kid. But if you're here and you couldn't raise your hand, I'm going to ask respectfully for those at the altar, as well as for those not at the altar, that we keep our heads bowed in a time of prayer. I don't want to rush this. Doing business with God is important. No one looking around. Let me ask this second question. If you're here and you could not raise your hand, you're not sure where you're going when you die. You're not sure that you've been washed. You're not sure, let's just say it like this, you've not been cleaned up by the blood that was shed by Jesus on that cross. If that's you, no one's looking. Me and God are the only ones. And I won't embarrass you or call your name out or anything crazy like that, but if you're here and you're not saved, would you be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, my soul, the real me is still dirty. I want to be clean. I see that. Anybody else? If you're here and you've never been saved, let me tell you, salvation is so simple. I'll give you two things to chew on as we close. I'm going to ask you to be still. Don't go to the car, go to the bathroom. Let's just be still for a moment longer, then we'll be done. If you're here and you're not saved, two things I want to say to you. Number one, if you're not sure about your eternal soul, Brother Tim, one of the guys that raised his hand earlier, one of our deacons, is standing right over here at this door, our side door, our back door, if you will. You're more than welcome right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, to go meet him. He'll be glad to open a Bible, take you to a more private space, open a Bible, tell you what it means to be saved, so you can know. No longer thinking, no longer hoping, but you know that you have eternal life. I was lost, but I've been found. I was 12 years old. It was a big, rustic-looking log cabin church in the mountains of Sedalia here in Colorado. I knew I wasn't saved. Preacher preached about how to be saved. I remember generally where I was sitting. I remember what side of the altar I came to. I don't remember what day it was. Can't tell you that. But I remember coming down to an altar and meeting my preacher there. Actually, I went and prayed by myself. Then he came over and put his arm around me and said, "Hey, what are you doing here?" When someone puts their arm around you and they say, "What are you doing here?" And you're at an altar, man, it's kind of a moment of decision time. And I said, "Well, I want to be saved." And here's what he said. He said, "You need to learn to admit you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I said, "Okay, I can do that." He said, "You need to understand that your sin comes with a price. There's a consequence to it. The wages of sin is death. And that death is not just physical, but it's spiritual. It's mentioned in Revelation 20 at the final judgment where the books are open and whoever's not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire." And I said, "Well, I don't want to go there." He said, "We don't have to." I said, "Great. How do we talk about how to get out of that?" He said, "Well, that's exactly why the gospel is the good news. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And he explained to me, all you have to do to receive that gift is by faith ask. Ask. You have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord Jesus to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. I said, "You're kidding me, man. Like, I don't have to go to a church or get baptized or join a thing or whatever." He said, "Nope. You just need to trust and lean on Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ask Him to save your soul." I don't think I understood everything about being saved in that moment. I know I didn't. But I knew this much. I could walk away from that moment in June of 1993. I could walk away from that altar going, "I know where I'm going when I die." If someone had asked me before, I would have said, "Oh, I hope I am. I think I am. You know what I could say after that? I know. I know." If you're here and that's you, we want you to know. Please don't just leave this place lost. Grab Brother Tim. Grab me. Be glad to open a Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, I hope you got the message today. I'll close with this thought. Spraying Febreze is not the same as actually cleaning your house. Okay? Far too often, Christians come to church and they're asking God to spray some Febreze. And he's like, "Well, I got my gloves on. Let's go." And you're like, "No, I'll just spray some Febreze. We're good." And the Lord's like, "Yeah, but then you won't actually be clean. You see? Let him clean you. Let him clean you." You kids find my other AirPod? $5. I'll pay her later. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate that. All right. Let's close in a word of prayer. You guys get something from the word today? Amen. Pray that you did. Appreciate you coming.